Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Do what you want to do, Lord. You're the lead. Holy Spirit, you're the lead this morning. Teach us and mature us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am a friend of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus. What is his is alive in me. I am complete in him, lacking nothing. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our brand new series this morning on the road to maturity. God's plan, without a doubt, is that all of us go through spiritual growth. All of us go through spiritual development, and that Christ is formed in us. So let's go to Galatians 4:19. This is the Amplified Bible. My little children, I'm again suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed within you. I'm suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. God wills that Christ be formed completely and permanently in every part of you and me. That when people see us, they see him. Can I get a witness on that? Somebody, I am talking to the saints this morning. God wills Christ be formed in every aspect of ourselves. And Christ-like, not just in our spirit, but in our attitudes, in our actions. I mean, it can be a little challenging. Carry Christ-like attitude each and every day. How about not just on Sunday? He wants us to be Christ-like Monday through Saturday. Not just in how we treat our friends, but people who don't like us very much. And let me say this. It's okay. It's okay. You're going to have some immaturity. You're going to see some flesh. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going to see it. And he's going to show it to you in love. If your heart is postured. If you want to learn. If you want to grow. Okay, so you're going to see some of that, but two things are very important. Number one, that you see it and recognize it. In other words, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. That was not Christ in and through me. That was the flesh, or that was my anger, or whatever. You got to recognize it. Amen. It's okay to apologize. And then secondly, understand that it's not God's will for you to stay in it. It's not your Father's will for you to stay in it. He desires that you grow and mature and develop into Christ's likeness in every venue. Here's Romans 8:29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So what's our destiny? To be conformed to the image of his Son. We're all predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be known as the firstborn among many brethren. Remember, we talked about this last week. Firstborn literally means prototype. It means a model from which others are made. We don't want Jesus to be known as the only spirit-filled son that ever walked the planet. We want children of God known everywhere. And then, moreover, whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, well, he glorified. So God wills our maturity, and maturity is Christ-likeness. There's no greater level of maturity than Christ-likeness, and walking in his spirit, his love, his attitudes, and his nature. Amen? Well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve, I got the gift of healing, and I got this gift, I got the gift of miracles. If you're operating in all that apart from love, you're annoying. And I'll leave that there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Holy Spirit conceives in our heart not religious things to do or some kind of rules to keep. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit conceives in our heart the life, character, and attitude of Christ. That's what got conceived in you. Not a rule book. A person. A demeanor, an attitude, a life. A life. Christ is life. That's who's been conceived in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to come out and be revealed in whatever circumstance you find yourself. That's a whole lot better than trying, well, I want to definitely try to be good when I'm in this circumstance. No, just be Christ-like. Let Christ shine in and through you, his attitudes, his demeanor, his countenance in whatever circumstance you find yourself. So in this series, I want to give you some things that help you on the road to maturity. You know, there's things that'll help us, and then there's detours to look out for, things that'll cause you delay. You'll be walking around mountains and wildernesses for 40 years. We looked at last week, number one, fellowship and community are crucial on the road to maturity. Having deeper relationships with the body of Christ, learning to love people like Christ loves people. This is huge. And this is why, John 13:35, Jesus said, by your love for one another, everybody will know you're my disciples. Man, I wish he said, by your love for me. Jesus is easy to love. It's people that are the challenge. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is always on. He's always good. He's always kind. He's always loving. Jesus never has a bad day. People are not perfect, not always on, not always loving, not always kind. People have bad days. Can I get a witness on that? But the first thing, one of the first things, Matthew 5, one of the first things the Master Jesus taught us, our teacher, our Master, he taught us, anyone can love people who love you. Anyone can do that. Heathen can do it. But I'm going to do such a work in you. I'm going to become such a source and a vine inside of you, you'll be able to love the unlovely. Don't shout me down. So with fellowship, we need opportunities to be around people. We need a schoolhouse, if you will, to walk this out, because I know a lot of you pretty well, and I don't believe a one of you want to come here and celebrate God's unconditional love every week and walk out the door and treat people with conditions. I don't think any of you want that. So we need a place to walk out the love of God that we celebrate. So discovery groups are that. Outreaches like we did just the other day are part of that. It's good to have all these people from town on our property. Amen? It's good to be a blessing to them with no strings attached. It's good for them to see Christ in and through us. They're probably refreshed, you know, we don't just hand out pamphlets about when our church times are. Why? Because it's not about church. I'd rather them see Christ. They need him more than they need church. Now, church can be a vehicle, and it is. I mean, that's what we're talking about. The church is us, and we're out and about feeding people and meeting people, enjoying each other. That's a great witness to our community. So we need those things. We need opportunities to love people the way Christ loves people. And that's what's so great about discovery groups and small groups. You can get to know one another. And then what's good, too, is you get opportunities for somebody that rubs you the wrong way. That's a good thing. What are you going to do, hole up in a cave with Vienna sausages, hoping you never meet anyone? People are going to rub you the wrong way, and they'll probably be on God's payroll. And you'll spend all your first time praying for them to change, and then God will say, hey, I'm talking to you. Let's learn to love people the way I love them. Amen. You know, Jesus loved his heavenly Father, but that's not what turned our heads. That's how he loved people. People like us, broken people, hurting people. That's what got our attention. So we need that fellowship, we need community, we need discovery groups, we need outreach opportunities so we can learn to love people like Christ loves people. And let me just say this with the outreach. I love seeing the three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all together, serving together, loving together. That's powerful. So that's why on the road to maturity, it's important you have one foot in corporate worship. Sunday mornings are important. Amen. Because there's things we can move here together. We cannot move at home by ourselves. There's power in corporate agreement. But we need to have another foot, though, in the small group opportunity, fellowship, and community opportunities, because it'll sharpen us, and it'll develop us, and it'll challenge us, and we can learn to love the body of Christ again. This needs to happen. We need to learn to love the body of Christ again. I understand mistakes have been made, flesh has been seen. I get it. We've all been hurt. You've been in church very long. You've been hurt. But we need to learn to love the body of Christ again. Don't let the enemy justify you in your distance. Number two, this will be fun. Now, the elders told me I need to say on the front end, everybody say, I love Pastor Steve. Thank you. I'm feeling the love. Now, we can talk about it. The second thing I want to give you, you want to talk about a detour. You want to talk about a delay on your road to Christlikeness? Avoid the blame game at all costs. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now that I've become a man, I've become of age, I'm done with childish ways. I put them aside. One childish thing we'll bring into adulthood, if we're not careful, is the blame game. Remember when you talked to little Johnny, he's three, your little three-year-old, and you said, little Johnny, why did you punch little Billy? And little Johnny said, because he did it to me first. Now let me translate that for you. It's deep. What he's saying is, he is the reason I'm behaving badly. Three years old, people. I got good news for you. Christ is a vine. Everybody say, Christ is a vine. And he wants to be your source of good behavior. Little Billy wants to source bad behavior to little Johnny. But Christ wants to source good attitudes and actions and behaviors through little Johnny, because Christ is a vine. Isn't that wonderful? And the vine takes up residence on the inside, so little Johnny's not overthrown by what's outside of him. That's Christianity, guys, right there. The Lord wants to pump you so full of his Holy Ghost goodness and kindness that you cannot be overthrown by what is outside of you. Greater is he than he that's in the world. That's right. You'll never face anything outside of you greater than who's inside of you. Never. We just need to dare to believe it. All right, check this out. The mature purpose daily. Now, Stacy and I talked about this yesterday, so I put in there hourly. The mature purpose hourly to be ruled by Christ, not by the actions of others. Who are you going to be ruled by, Christ or the actions of others? The mature purpose to be ruled by Christ's internal power, not by their emotional reactions to bad drivers. or gossip, or he said, she said. You can be ruled by your emotions. Some of your biggest pieces of stupid came out of the emotional realm. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. How could we know so much of who God says we are, and then our day is completely ruined because somebody cut us off in traffic, or because somebody said something bad about us? You know what I say that? Well, is it true? If it's true, repent. I mean, if it's true and it's ugly, repent. If it's not true, no sweat. That's how you let your enemies work for you. Let your critics work for you. If they criticize you and it's true, ask the Lord to work on it with you. Amen. You know how some people have a chip on their shoulder, right? And they're just waiting for someone, please knock this off so I can flesh out. The Lord said, he told me, he said, you need to have Christ on your shoulder. Look for opportunities where you can Christ out to someone. That way you're looking for opportunities. Instead of a chip on your shoulder, how about walking with Christ every day looking for opportunities? The golden rule is not treat each other treat someone how they treat you. That's not the golden rule. Treat one another how you want to be treated. All right, just a little reminder for you there. How about this? E. Stanley Jones said, a great hindrance to our maturity is one of the most ancient of temptations to lay the blame on someone else. Yikes. Where do you get that from? Book of Genesis. Look at this story. Genesis 3 verse 9. Adam and Eve stumbled in the garden, ate of the tree. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, Adam, where are you? And so he said, well, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And so I hid myself. Verse 11, the Lord said, who told you you were naked? Right there speaks the source. Man, I would say to you, who told you you're no good? Who told you you're unworthy? Who told you you're unrighteous? Who's lying to you? Who are you listening to? Because the Lord isn't telling you that. It's all about source. So he asks them that, and then, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Verse 12, then the man said, well, the woman you gave me. Adam, I mean, this guy's brilliant. He blames two parties in one statement. It's the woman you gave me. We come by it honestly, see? We come by it honestly. It is written into our wiring to blame. God, this is your fault, the woman you gave me. And then and she gave me of the tree, and I ate. In verse 13, so the Lord said, hey, what'd you do? And the woman said, well, it was a snake. The serpent deceived me. Do you guys want to hear it? No? Adam blamed Eve and God. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. There you go. See, honey, they liked it. It's getting old. Brian and I had lunch this week, and he even knew it was coming. So, the only one who took responsibility for what happened in the garden was the Lord. Now think about that. The only one who took responsibility for what happened in the garden was the Lord. He came up with the plan. Listen, he sacrificed himself for the remission of their sin. That's incredible. He took responsibility. And guess what our destiny is? Christ-likeness. He took responsibility for a bad situation. And he's our destiny. He's where we're headed. We're all predestined to be like Christ. And he took responsibility. How many of you want peace in your marriages? Show of hand. Peace in your relationships? Wow, about 16 of you is all. Okay. Hey. I'm praying for you. If you want peace in your home and family, you may have to humble yourself. You may have to give of yourself in some of those tight situations. You may have to take responsibility for a difficult situation. Things aren't going the way you want them to go, and you may feel completely justified. But you may have to offer yourself and say, you know what, honey? I'm sorry, and I just want to take responsibility for this situation. This is not Christ-likeness in our marriage. This is not Christ's attitude in our marriage. And so I'm going to take that responsibility and give, amen? And give. So see, like we said last week, you can either be crucified that way, voluntarily in love with Christ, because he's with you in it. Or you can end up crucified later by all the destruction that wreaks havoc in your marriage and your home. Through selfishness and immature attitudes. You can flesh out on them, but it's not going to work. It's not going to bring you what you're looking for. Do you see how we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ? And you might walk that mountain 40 years fighting flesh with flesh in your marriage until finally you hear Pastor Steve say, you know what, maybe Christ's likeness is what needs to be sown into my marriage. Maybe I should take responsibility and humble myself in this bad situation. See, we get to make the choice in those instances. Remember when we talked about before, okay, Pastor, if I think I'm right and she thinks she's right, which one's going to humble themselves first? Remember what I said? The more mature one. Which one of you is more spiritual, more Christ-like? You go first. Everybody say, I love Pastor Steve. Okay, I'm not feeling the love right now. Write this down. Being Christ to your spouse. So you can manifest flesh or you can manifest Christ. Being Christ to your spouse is always the right thing to do. It's always the wisest thing to do. And it's the most effective thing to do. Think about that. What's the best choice to make when you can feel the escalation coming on? You ever been there? It's escalating. What's the best choice? Christ-likeness. Well, he said this to me. What should I do? Christ-likeness. He is the right thing to do in every situation, not just in marriage. How about when your boss railroads you? What's the right way to respond? Christ-likeness. Christ is the right thing to do, the wisest thing to do, the most effective thing to do in every situation. And aren't you glad he's alive and well inside of you? So this is no stretch. This is not, man, try a guy, fake it. Try to fake to be like Jesus. He's in you. Take yourself, take your emotions, take your attitudes, and yield them to him. Somebody give God praise in the house of God this morning. I'm not saying in your marriages or in your work relationships or whatever that you're a doormat. I am not saying that. I'm not saying let people run all over you. I'm saying do the right thing, but make sure you do it with Christ's heart and Christ's attitude. You can stand. Don't let people mistreat you. But boy, how you manifest that stance needs to be in Christ and not with the flesh. Stacy and I encountered a very difficult situation this past week. It was very challenging. We really felt like we were being done completely wrong. And so we were talking, and I said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to respond in Christ. That's what we're going to do. We're going to give people the benefit of the doubt. Surely this can't be what they mean. This has got to be a mistake. And we're going to respond in Christ with a Christ-like attitude. You can stand up for yourself and do it with the right attitude. Come on now. I'm telling you the truth. Now, let me tell you this. This is wisdom. That situation, whatever you face, whatever difficulty it is, it's coming. It's coming regardless. So make the choice to walk through it in Christ with his heart, his attitude, his demeanor, his spirit, his life, his character. You can choose worry. You can walk through that thing worried and spun up and fearful and, oh my gosh, you know, the deadline's coming. It's all going to be bad. You can walk through it that way, but why would you? If the situation's coming regardless, walk through it in Christ. Thank you, brother. All right, let's see if I can find where we were. I'm going to say, a first step to maturity in Christ is to accept responsibility for where we are and what we're doing. We're going to accept responsibility? This is America. The land where nobody's responsible for any of the bad stuff we're doing. Come on. You know, I don't deny that people can influence us. I don't deny that they can rub us the wrong way. I don't deny that circumstances can affect us. But we do the responding and we do the choosing. And I'm telling you, if the circumstance is unavoidable, it's coming, or whatever, conflict is inevitable, whatever, please put on Christ. I don't deny our emotions influence us, but we're not powerless people. We are powerful people. We're not powerless people. Subject to everyone and everything. We're powerful people in Christ. We got the power of the Holy Spirit. Powerless people approach life as consumers. Everyone else has to give them love, give them happiness, give them joy, and give them sympathy. That's a powerless person. Everybody owes me happiness. Everybody owes me sympathy. Everybody owes me love. And when that is not given, guess what happens? They blame everyone else for their behavior. That's a powerless person. They're needy. They're not complete in Christ in the sense that they're walking in that reality. I don't need anything from you. Christ is my supply. That's a powerful person. I would like for this to go this way. I would like for you to like me. I would like for us to have a good relationship, but I don't need it. I'm not falling apart if you treat me wrong, and I'm sure not going to repay evil for evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. Look at Joseph. He could have cried victim. I mean, Joseph, his brothers. Look what his brothers did to him. Potiphar's wife lies on him. He ends up in jail. All kinds of stuff was going wrong. He could have cried victim. He could have just quit and waited for government handouts. But instead, Genesis 45, verse 4 and 5, he told his brothers, don't hate yourselves. Don't beat yourselves up, because God has worked this out for good. And he refused to quit. He refused to, you know, bellyache, murmur, and complain and give up. He kept going, and the Lord worked it all for good. Where is the idea of taking personal responsibility in the United States today? It's hard to find. Let me tell you something. You need to flee victim status in a hurry. Flee victim theology because it's trying to undermine our nation. You better be careful when government people want to make you a victim. And they start naming all the groups of victims all over the town. You want to know why? Because if you're a victim, they own you. Let us be the answer. You've been victimized. Let me go to bat for you. Let me be what brings you to, you know, joy and fulfillment. You better watch out because slavery's coming. This country wasn't founded on huge government that invades us at every turn, makes victims out of everybody. Flee victim theology for the sake of young people. I beg you. I beg you for your children and your grandchildren. Pipe into them. We are not victims. We are not victims. The flesh wants to justify our victim ideology, wants to say, well, it's everyone else's fault that I'm so angry. It's everyone else's fault I'm vengeful. How about this? It's everyone else's fault that I'm out rioting and looting today. Where is personal responsibility? It's everybody else's fault I hate America. It's everybody else's fault I hate God. I cannot claim responsibility for my actions because I've been done wrong. I am a victim. I am entitled to everyone's sympathy. We are back to little Billy and little Johnny all over again. I beg you, flee that mindset. Flee it for the sake of your children and your grandchildren. How about this one? A sure sign of immaturity is that it's everyone else's fault that I am the way I am and that I'm acting the way I'm acting. A sure sign of immaturity is that it's everyone else's fault I am the way I am and I'm acting the way I'm acting. Christ is bigger. Christ is bigger. You want a major detour on the road to Christ's likeness? Just let what somebody else did to you be bigger than what Christ has done for you and in you. At some point, we got to make what Jesus did for us bigger than what somebody else did to us. And you can live, maybe your motto is, he did it to me first. You can live that way as long as you're talking about Jesus. And if that's you and you've had your umbilical cord connected to everything else and everybody else, I've got good news for you. Christ is a vine. And he's a source. And all of us need to answer this question, okay? Will I allow the vine of Christ to break the tyranny of self-preoccupation? Because the undercurrent, and maybe it's not undercurrent, I guess the current, the stream of our nation anymore is self, 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 self-promotion, my brand, it's all about me, selfie, 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 right? We have to be careful with that. I'm not against selfies, but I'm against self-centeredness because I love you and I love this country. And anything that elevates self over God will find its ruin very quickly. The question is, will I allow the vine of Christ in me to break the tyranny of self-preoccupation? We live in a society that's easily offended. Everybody looks for a reason to justify their attitude, their actions that are detrimental, listen to me, to their own health. Attitudes and actions that are detrimental to their own well-being. It's like victim Olympics in this country to see which group of people is the most victimized. Which group is the most entitled to everyone else's sympathy? It's like a race. Like I said earlier, be leery of that because if the government wants to make a victim out of somebody, typically they want to own them and they want to source them. How about this statement? Jesus Christ is my maturity. The more I know Christ, the more I know maturity. As I know, how about this? I know maturity as I know him. I know manifestations of Christ's likeness as I live connected to him. As we live connected, the great thing about it is when you have the living Christ on the inside of you, you're capable of manifesting maturity at any moment because he's in you. Don't think, well, it's going to be 10 years, honey, before I can really love you like Christ loves the church. He's in you now. Now, in your consistency, you may grow. Your ability to overcome and recognize flesh and immaturity as your responses in heated moments, that you can grow in your consistency. But you can manifest Christ anytime. You just have to choose it. All right, here's some wonderful signs of maturity. Matthew chapter 5. You can turn there with me if you want. Matthew 5, I'm going to read from New King James, verse 38. Now, this is our master. This is our teacher. Early on, he hadn't been on the planet that long. He says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person." Do you hear that? Don't resist an evil person. "Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer the other one too. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic," here's an idea, "give him your coat as well." Now, our master said this. "And whoever demands you go 1 mile, well, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, well, don't turn away. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." How about repaying persecution with prayer? How about that trade? Why? Verse 45, he says, "that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, because he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you only love those who love you, what reward is that? Even tax collectors do it. If you only greet people and say hello to your brethren, what do you do more than anyone else? Tax collectors will do that. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's verse 48. Now, that word perfect means complete. Live complete. Live not lacking for anything. In other words, everybody else is in debt to you. Don't live that way. Woo-hoo! Don't live with the idea everybody else is in debt to you. Live complete. Colossians 2:10, "and we are complete in him. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You have got to flee the lie of lack. You've got to flee that there are people who have to act a certain way. You've got to do this for me. You've got to say this for me. You've got to give me this for me to be complete. Flee it. That's a lie of lack. You're complete even as your Father is complete. Amen. He's in you. That's the only way you'd be able to do these things he's asking. And let me line them out for you. Yeah, I know. Come on, Holy Ghost. I feel it. Don't we want to grow, though? Don't we want to be like Christ? Who wants to play church? I don't want to be religious. I love Jesus. I want to be like him. I want him to be seen through me everywhere I go. When I'm dead and they're at my funeral, I want them to say, "Man, the one thing about Steve I really admire about him, he reminded me of Jesus Christ." That's what I want to be known for. Amen. Here's our list of some signs of maturity that Jesus gave us. Don't resist an evil, mean person. Don't repay insults for insults. Go the extra mile. If your boss says it's due in 5 days, believe God for 4 days. If people want your stuff, it's okay to share it with them. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to people who hate you. Repay persecution with prayer. And loving those who don't give you love to love them with. Those are all signs of maturity. Jesus never said one time, "Be ugly to them and then blame them for how you're being." Live full. Live complete. Thank God we have a vine on the inside of us. This is not the imitation of Jesus. Let me just try so hard to be like Jesus and be nice to them. You can't do it. You're going to have to die. And let Christ and his new nature and new heart be seen in and through you. Isn't that powerful, church? He never said one time, if somebody insults you, which is what he's talking about smiting you on the cheek. If somebody insults you, man, insult them back. Undress them with your tongue and then blame them. Huh. Where have we been misled? All right, how about Matthew 5, Message Bible. Jeremy, you guys can come. Look at this. This is the same passage, Message Bible. You're familiar with the, I'm going to go 40, 43 through 48. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. Well, I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When somebody gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you're working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. Come on, new creation people, right? Come on, true you people. He's talking about you, who you really are in Christ. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish. And he gives it to everyone regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, you expect a bonus for that? Anybody can do it. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinners do that. Verse 48, here it is. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up! Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. And here he says it again. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. God is source. God is source. Amen, amen. Now before you pass out, looking at all these things, listen to me, the true you not only possesses these character traits, the true you wants to do them. You know that rant I just went on that I want to be like Christ? If I'm remembered for anything, I want to be that I was like Jesus. I had the nature and character of Christ. That's the true Steve. That's who I really am. Now, I may not always manifest that, but that is who I really am. And I'm telling you, the true you not only possesses this, wants to do it. And if you say, well, Pastor Steve, no, that's not me, then I say this to you. Stop knowing yourself by the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Don't know yourself after the flesh, but by the Spirit. And he's not saying, hey, this is what you're supposed to go do without me. This is him saying, this is who you are. And when you walk through it and you manifest it, righteousness, peace, and joy. You're going to feel right. You're going to feel peace about it. You're going to have joy in your heart. That's the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17, right? It's not eating and drinking and religious things. It's righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is in you. Will you stand with me? Amen. Amen, amen. I just want to run. I want to run through a, what is it, Jeremy? Run through a troop and jump over a wall? Or is that right?
Sure.
Sure. Let's bow our heads and open our hands and our hearts.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.